Welcome to the dsmith.org podcast for April 6, 2006, Routing Signals Between Printed Wiring Board Layers, Part 1, an ESD example. I'm Doug Smith. This podcast is a companion podcast to my technical tidbit of April 2006 of the same title, Routing Signals Between PWB Layers, Part 1, an ESD example. And I thought I would just further explain some of the things in that article and add some more information to it that would take too long to type down. It would be pages long, so I thought I'd try this. In figure one of the article, you see there's a power and ground plane and then the opposite one just below that, and there's a signal path with a signal current flowing, and I've got the arrows going to the right showing the signal current and the arrows going to the left to show the current on the upper ground or power plane. Then the signal current penetrates the planes and goes on the lower plane to the right. Meanwhile, the return current is coming on the bottom of the lower plane. Skin effect and minimum inductance keep it there. It can follow the hole through and get on the top of the lower plane. And the real big question is, how does that return current get from the top of the lower plane to the bottom of the upper plane? From there, it can go through the hole and follow the path on the top of that upper power ground plane. When I talk to others about this, sometimes people say, well, that current goes through the nearest bypass capacitor. But it's really more complex than that. Those planes are relatively close, even in a four-layer board, and they couple together well. So it really makes a transmission line. And in two dimensions, you can think of it spreading out from the hole. And that transmission line encounters relative shorts. That would be the bypass capacitors. And, of course, all around the outside is often open circuit. Certainly in a four-layer board, if you tried to tie those planes together, you'd be shorting the power supply. So those open circuits on the edges reflect back. And if I were to, say, mount an SMA connector that connected between those two planes and connected over to a network analyzer and try to measure that impedance, it's all over the place, up and down with frequency, valleys and peaks. But the peaks can get to be several ohms. And, of course, if one of those peaks gets near the harmonic of your clock, you might be in trouble. But in this case, what we're doing is we're hitting one of these planes with an ESD stimulus, and then it gets everything ringing. And as the ESD current traverses between these planes, it creates a voltage across the impedance at that point where the via is, the thing I've labeled Z in the diagram. And that's right in the signal and power return loop that we have. All signals make a loop, source to load and back again. And as I mentioned in the article, it's the back again that often gets us in trouble. But so we've got this voltage generated across that Z by the ESD event, and that's right in the signal and return loop. And so it becomes part of that. And later on, I showed some scope plots that will show a much greater voltage going through the plane on a board than if it stays on the same side. One final note on that board that I constructed. I took twisted pair telephone wire, which is 100-ohm twisted pair, insulated 24-gauge. If you remove one of those pairs, straighten it out, and tape it to a board, the ground plane of the board provides what amounts to the image on the other side would be the other wire at 100 ohms, but it's 50 ohms to the ground plane. It makes a beautiful 50-ohm path, a cheap way of making a test board with a 50-ohm path. You may notice many of the articles on my website use very simple experiments like that. And get some good results. But I hope you enjoyed this discussion, and tune in another week or so. I'll be on vacation next week, so next week's podcast may be a little late. Thanks.